I'm Maxine Giza for SearchSOA.com. I'm with Object Management Group's Richard Soley to discuss Unified Modeling Language, or more commonly known as UML. Thanks for joining me, Richard.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for the invitation, Maxine.
So, Richard, could you just start off by giving our audience a brief overview of UML and how it relates to some of the other modeling languages?
Thanks. That's actually what I always like to talk about is how our first modeling languages, UML and CWM and MOF, relate to what we've been doing for the last 15 years in modeling. UML, as many people know, was the result of an OMG standardization program that started in 1996 and came out in September of 97 with the first unified modeling language specification, which was focused primarily on software development. But it had in it a couple of very interesting features. Number one, it was defined using a modeling language that most people don't know about. That's the Meta Object Facility, which is a language for defining modeling languages. And the UML itself had inside it a profiling mechanism that allowed you to define new modeling languages inside of UML. We've used both of those mechanisms to define a suite of modeling languages over the last 15 years for many different uses. Although a lot of these languages have the same sorts of tools, they focus on different domain-specific purposes. So the UML is still primarily for software development, although there are people that use it for other purposes. The BPMN, or Business Process Modeling Notation, is focused on modeling business processes so that you can analyze them and sometimes automate them. The SysML is a rapidly growing modeling language for large, complex systems engineering tasks. The UPDM is a modeling language for modeling enterprise architectures, which started out in the financial services and mil aerospace areas, but is now being used in many, many, many different vertical markets. The SOA-ML is a great language for capturing the design of service-oriented architectures. All of these came from those first tentative steps of the UML adoption in 1997, the Meta Object Facility, the profiling mechanism, and our very first domain-specific language, which came out after UML, the CWM, or Common Warehouse Meta Model, a language for describing warehousing, data warehousing. So that has become the core of what OMG does in standardization, in which we define standard business models, software models, systems engineering models, and so forth in at least two dozen vertical markets, from healthcare to finance and telecommunications and manufacturing and military systems, communications, logistics, command and control, even automotive design.
So, Richard, how does an architect know when, say, UML has met its limit of usefulness? How much UML is enough? How much is too much?
You know, I love that question. I get it all the time. This is such a big language, 21 different views. Why do I need to have so many tools? Well, my answer is, having a Y chromosome and growing up as a boy and now being a man, I like to have a toolbox with lots of tools. But that doesn't mean, honestly, that I use all of those tools all the time. Although my father-in-law liked to use just one tool for everything, he pounded in nails with a screwdriver. I like to have a hammer for nails and a screwdriver for screws and pliers and so forth. And I use the right tool for the right purpose. If I'm pounding nails all day, I'm not going to be reaching into my toolbox for a pair of pliers. And that's the way I think of UML. We need to have in the language sufficient tools for everybody to build the systems they want to build, but very, very, very few people use all of those tools in all or even any one of their projects. That's borne out by every survey we've done and anyone else has ever done about how much of UML is used. What you can't do is say, well, let's throw out, you know, such and such a view, whether it's sequence diagrams or state charts, because I'm not using them. That doesn't make sense. And in fact, there's a good example, just those two. State charts have been used by embedded systems engineers for decades. They're not going away, even though most other people don't use them. Sequence diagrams basically allow you to specify the same information, but in a way that telecoms engineers are used to. So it makes sense to have a lot of tools, even if I don't use them on every project. You don't even necessarily have to learn all of those tools. You use the tools that make the most sense to you. Our surveys find that everyone uses class diagrams, and after that, it really varies by project. So in the latest version of UML, about to come out this year, in fact, we're not adding any new views. We're not adding any new notations, but we're certainly not deleting them either.
Yeah, you know, Richard, you bring up something I was actually very interested in asking you about. I mean, it's really exciting that the UML 2.5 revision is due out shortly. What are some of the things developers can expect?
Thanks for the question. I'm happy to say that developers should be happy and relaxed about the 2.5 specification. The label, the name of the specification process, which we've been going through, led by Steve Cook and Microsoft, but involving a couple of dozen companies, the name of this process has been UML 2.5 Specification Simplifications. So the whole focus of this version of the standard is simplifying the standard, not only for people who have to implement those at the UML tool vendors, whether it's Microsoft or IBM or Nomagic or Spark Systems or Atego or whomever, but also for the users of UML. How much do I have to read? How much do I have to understand to use it? There are several mandatory requirements of the UML 2.5 process that were very strictly adhered to, and that included no compliance levels, no new compliance levels, no merge increments, no language changes, no new features. It's all about simplifying what's there to make it easier to use, to make the connections back to MOF, the way we define modeling languages, easier to follow, to make profiling easier to use so that we can create new languages like the UPDM and SysML and so forth. And to separate out potentially as usable or reusable specifications, things like primitive types. So for the average UML user, first of all, the standard will be easier to read. It will make more sense in how it relates to other OMG standards like BPMN and SysML and so forth. It will be easier to implement. It'll be easier to use. And there's nothing new to learn. That's the most important thing. No new notations.
Hey, I think that's great news for the developers out there. No new notations. Can't complain about that.
it reminds me of that sign you see on the edge of the road all the time, you know, end construction. I'm going to march around a construction company sometime with one of those signs, end construction now. Okay, that joke didn't go over well.
No, I'm laughing real hard over here. No, thank you so much for sitting down and speaking with me today, Richard. Well, that's all the time we have for now. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for the time. I appreciate the opportunity to clarify what we're doing with UML.